This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to BFM 89.9, and this is Open for Business. I'm Lily Chai. I remember very fondly, especially in the days leading to Chinese New Year, going to Chinatown in KL with my parents, to those dried seafood shops to buy ingredients for a fabulous, remarkable reunion dinner. And those stores always had the same staple look. The uneven cement floor, the glass cupboards behind the counter, and the fishy smell that today is just pure nostalgia. Today, Chai Huat Hin wants to keep this dried seafood mom-pop shop alive. They are taking things up a notch by going digital. Chai Huat Hin was established back in 1972, selling dried seafood and traditional oriental groceries. Joining me in the studio today is Lana Ng, its e-commerce manager and also the granddaughter of Chai Huat Hin's co-founder, to talk about how she added this digital avenue for the shop back in 2016. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Lana.
Hi, morning.
Chai Huat Hin started in 1972 and was founded by your late grandfather and his business partner. Who and what is Chai Huat Hin, and what is the meaning behind the name?
So the meaning Chai Huat Hin, it's actually directly translated from the Chinese name Zai Fa Xing. So it literally translates like you continually prosper throughout the entire business. It's a very traditional name, and probably it's very auspicious, and hence why the name came forth when they first started. Mm. Yeah, so Chai Huat Hin, we've been in Petaling Street since 1972. It started in Central Market when it was still a wet market. And then slowly when the area in Petaling Street developed, we then moved our shop to the shop lots that you see now. Yeah.
Okay, so the store that is now at is Jalan Tun
HS Lee. Yes, correct.
Okay, so there's only just one physical store that you guys have been operating, right?
Yep, we only have one.
Who used to run the shop and who is running the business now?
So it used to start off with my grandfather. He ran the shop with some partners, and then later on it was just him alone. When he passed in about, I think it was 2016, then my uncle took over together with my aunts.
So it's now become a family business, I would say?
Yeah, it has become, yeah.
Okay. And what is your role in the business currently?
My main role is just focusing on the digital part, so e-commerce and the social media part on of the brand, and also putting out like brand presence online.
Okay, so you're allowing Chai Huat Hin to have like a digital presence. And this was in 2016.
We started the online part, yes, at the end of 2016, probably beginning of 2017. That was when the whole idea started, and they started up having like their own website. I wasn't in this team at the moment, but I was in a discussion between family members. So they started their own website back then, but then nothing really moved back then because, you know, there wasn't anybody to look after it, to sort of run it. So they just started it and it was just stagnant. I only started coming into the picture in about 2018. That's when I said, like, we need to change up the website because the old website wasn't mobile friendly, and we needed to make it more enticing. I guess the interface and everything was just very old. So I then sort of changed everything to a newer platform.
Right. Just out of curiosity, why did you decide to come in to be a part of this business?
I think it was sort of fated. I quit my previous job and I decided to take a break for a year. Then it was also the same time when my grandfather sort of passed away. And then that was when I was kind of just lost. And I saw that my uncle needed help with the online part. And I told him, like, let me give it a try, but I'm just going into it in the sense of trying to have fun. I told him it's not like marketing and online, this whole social media, it's not my forte, it's not my background. But I said, like, you know, if you don't mind, I'm just going to have fun with it and see what we can do with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. How was your family's response when you told them that you want to take it up a notch in terms of the interface, the website, and everything to go online, basically? Was there any, like, apprehensions between your older family members? And because there are many old businesses that, you know, they might mm-hmm. want to transition, but technology can be scary for them.
Yeah. So I think I'm one of the luckier ones. When I came into the picture, they were already, since the website, old website was already up. So my uncle and aunties, they were already in discussion of how to run it, but they didn't really know how to do it. So when I came into the picture, they said, oh, since you're like the younger generation, you're the expert of social media, right? So like, we'll just leave it to you. So I was lucky enough to say, okay, I get to lead everything as long as I explain to them like what I'm trying to do. And they kind of just like, okay, just go ahead and do it. But we did, like the apprehension that you mentioned, it was between my uncle, aunties and my grandfather. So they had to go through that. He was quite against the idea. So he didn't quite understand what was going on. So I guess in a way, like they didn't force it upon him, but it was a gradual change, like later on when he wasn't like, cause he passed due to cancer. So when he wasn't already like physically at the shop, he wasn't strong enough to be there or healthy enough to be there. So then later on, they kind of just slowly took a switch.
All right. Let's talk about your products online. You claim to sell dried seafood of premium quality. And tell me what makes your products premium and who your distributors are.
So we import most of the products. Some of them are local, but different countries or different states, they are like the pioneers of their products, right? So China, like we have the scallops from China or the Korean oysters. So every time, each season they come, they will be very different. So we make them premium in terms of we have to handpick each and every batch that comes through our shop. It's not just like, we have a few suppliers that we say like, we'll have to vet through every single batch before we agree to take in the product, because the season and then the weather, everything will affect how the products at that moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then from there on, when we put it online, every order that comes in, we hand pick and pack them as well before we give it out to our customers.
Right. This means that you need to constantly be sourcing outside of the country, right? Mm. So how has the global supply chain, especially from China, right?
Yeah.
How has it affected the supplies coming in?
It is very fluctuative. So we can only, there was once where things were really running out of a stock. So we can only wait. So when things happen like that, our prices will naturally hike up. It's a very dependent, I guess, upon logistics and stuff. So it's very hard to say, like, we can have a stagnant stock or continuous supply. So like, for example, like now that the USC is hiking up and everything, it's affecting all the logistics and the petroleum prices. So then our prices will hike up because the shipment, one, it'll take longer, two, everything is just more expensive. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, how is your, let's talk about your price point since we're on it. Mm-hmm. Your price point is neither more expensive nor it's cheaper than your competitors, right? Mm. So how do you differentiate yourself from a conventional Chinese seafood grocery stores then?
Okay, so one thing is, like I said, the orders, when they come in online, we will handpick them, making sure that everything that we pick for your order, for example, if it's like scallops, we make sure that they are all in like good condition and not just the one that are smashed or like in pieces. Everything, if you order the like the whole scallops, then we make sure that each and every one of them are whole and they're of the size that you want, and then we'll then pack it for you. So comparing it to other traditional or supermarkets, they are already pre-packed and they can be on the shelves for months or weeks and you wouldn't know. So then with that said, those that are already pre-packed, they will oxidize way faster and it will affect the taste of the seafood.
Mm. Since this is quite a complex and it's less easy, it's more difficult compared to the conventional way of doing things, I'm curious about how you manage your inventory.
So at the moment, previously when we first started, everything was sort of jumbled together. But now that we are trying to systemize and digitalize things, so we are slowly separating our stocks bit by bit. One part is for the shop, one part is for online.
Mm.
Yeah.
And has it been easy? What challenges have you been facing?
It has not been easy at all. The challenges that I'm facing right now, it's literally starting from scratch, like data entries, putting it into the POS system, putting it into our financials, like accounting systems, making sure that our stock check and everything is tallied. Yeah.
Right. Okay. You mentioned before the show that you can't read Mandarin, right? Mm. And is there a barrier when it comes to talking to distributors or even introducing the products to your customers?
And yes, when I first started, it was quite hard. But I wouldn't say that I'm entirely, I can't speak. Mm. I can speak. So I think that that helps a bit. It's just that I'm not very fluent. So, and, at home when we're with my family, they speak mostly in Mandarin or Hokkien. So, I'm already exposed to the language and I know like Hanyu Pinyin. So that one helped a lot in terms of with digital and iPhone or phones these days. We can just type the Hanyu Pinyin and everything will just come out, right? Usually they say the first sentence that you type out, it's the correct characters. So I went ahead and cut, like in terms of communicating with customers online, that's what I went with. And there were times where I typed the wrong words and stuff, but I think customers were quite forgiving and they sort of get what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There is a mix of Mandarin and English in your Instagram posts, yeah, your social media posts, and your website, right?
Yes.
Is this a marketing strategy? Or why was this approach taken instead of like fully English or fully Mandarin?
So when I first took over the whole social media online side of the business, I told my uncle and aunties, I said, there are a lot of Chinese websites that are selling these kind of products. But the problem is everything, like if you meet people or customers like me, I'm neither here nor there. I can't read, I can speak, but I don't know what it is, right? And I want to buy it online. It's very difficult. And the way we market things is we don't want to focus so much on the benefits of the herbs or dried seafood and stuff like that, because there's already so much information saturated online. If we really want to know, people can just easily search. So we're focusing more on how we can cook it and how we can simplify our traditional dishes in terms of that. So that's when we decided, I think we'll do it fully in English first, and Chinese is our secondary content to entice the customers who can't speak and who can't read. Yeah. Because right, there are a lot of us in the country, and I feel like we're being left out. We've been growing up in this environment where we're still very traditional in a sense, but mix of Western, right? But we still grew up with, you know, our grandma, our mom cooking the same traditional dishes. But when it's down to us to cook, it's very intimidating for us to buy, because we don't know the language. We don't even know half of the products. So when it's in English, I feel like it's easier to break that barrier between the traditional and the modern generation. Yeah. Mm.
All right. I want to talk more about your marketing on social media, but it's time for us to take a short break for some messages, but don't go anywhere. I'm here with Lana Ng, the e-commerce manager of Chai Huat Hin, here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. I'm Lily Chai. I'm here with Lana Ng, the e-commerce manager of Chai Huat Hin. Before the break, we talk about a little bit about how they have gone digital and the challenges that they have been facing. Now, we were talking about marketing as well, and I want to talk about it because your call visuals on social media are making traditional food, or how younger generation call it, old people food.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like kumquat oil, dried tangerines, hakka mui chai, and all these, right? You made it into something that is very aesthetically attractive to the younger audience, right? So tell me, how did you come up with that approach of modernizing traditional food?
So when I was doing some research on my own, I realized that a lot of these, people like pretty pictures. So it's the same when it comes to food. But when we were researching about, you know, when you look at ikan bilis, when you look at dried shrimps, scallops, they are usually not very appealing. Like you walk into, I mean, if you buy it from the shop, then sure, they're very appealing. But to look at it in pictures, they're not very nice. So I decided, like, I think we need to prettify them as well. I want to show my customers or the young generations that these products are actually very pretty. I mean, you have to. We love it so much, but why is nobody taking nice pictures of them? So I decided, like, I think they need a fashion show of their own. So that's when I decided, like, we need more like lifestyle products. We want to show our customers what what they can become essentially at the end product, how they can look like to sort of like entice people. It's like, I mean, you don't want to see, people don't like ugly pictures, lah. That's it, lah. So when everything looks prettier, then I guess it leaves more room for imagination for people to think about, oh, okay, what can I make out of these? Yeah.
Right. It's funny how people make very nice pictures of cookies, coffee. Yes. But when it comes to like these traditional Chinese groceries, right, we tend to like leave it aside.
Yeah, they're left out. So I decided it's time.
Okay. Has this approach, posting nicer pictures, helped shift your customer demographics, and how are they like as compared to before?
Definitely. So since the business itself, traditionally, even my usual customers who are walking in right now, they are the older generations, I would say probably about 50s and above. So I'm trying to attract more of the younger crowds. We need to start teaching them like, hey, it's time for you guys to start learning how to cook these ingredients, right? So by taking nice pictures or even coming up with short reels or like funny reels, younger customers are slowly taking notice of these products, and then they go like, oh, you know, my grandma or my mom used to cook these things. What are they called? Then that's when I feel like the education part will sort of like kick in, and then the more they see, the more they learn, then they're more willing to try to cook them.
Mm, it's about starting the conversation first.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what were the pain points for you going digital as a whole?
Pain points. Number one was sort of reconstructing a new website. We had to move our database from the old. So the old website was built from scratch. So then I realized, like, because building websites from scratch, there are the pros and cons. I guess the cons would be then, when technology changes, if you cannot keep up to date, they are very costly to do it from scratch. Then if you don't have that budget for small SMEs, you will then be left behind. So then if we switch to now, we're now on like the monthly subscription type of e-commerce platforms. So when we're there, it's easier for us to keep up. But the only thing is sort of like data transition, where we have to move from one place to another. So that one took a very long time. And I did like most of it myself, sort of learning everything from scratch. Yeah.
And then now you're still transitioning your inventory fully online as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another...
Sort of the back end, like you're paying, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So speaking of monthly subscription, right? How much money was invested into digitalizing all your grandfather's business, and where did the funds come from?
Funds came from the store itself, like the physical shop itself. So it was, we started off from there, I would say. I mean, let's not talk about how we built the website from scratch, but if you're talking about when I came into the picture, when we did the subscription part, I guess everything was just below 10K. Yeah. Because to do, you know, to start a page, website, the Facebook page was already there, but then to start an Instagram page or a TikTok page, everything is free, right? So you only need money to sort of like subscribe to a platform and then start taking pictures, and that's where the equipments come in.
Yeah. Do you take the pictures yourself, or do you hire outsourced photographers?
We used to take the pictures ourselves, and then right now we engage a team to sort of do it for us monthly. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, how much difference do you see in terms of sales and revenue after adding the digital avenue into your business?
We were able to attract more of the younger crowds to actually come online, and some of them they walk into the shop as well after MCO. So they first started buying online, and then they realized that, oh, this is the shop that my mom used to go, or my grandma used to go, and then they started coming into the shop. So I guess the interesting part is with the younger crowds becoming our customers, we are then able to sort of, we have an opportunity to bring in other kinds of products. Instead of just traditional products, we can now sort of try to look into maybe some of the more convenient products, like frozen products that older people sort of don't really like, but then young people, they really like all these frozen and easy cooking. Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned about the supply chains that hiked up your prices a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about it? And like, how many times have you adjusted your price due to the inflationary pressure?
So this is very interesting, because I always tell my uncle and my customers, like, it's like a stock market in like at the back end. Every time something comes comes in and I go, okay, it's a price hike. And the next week, it can be cheaper. So it really depends from batches to batches and season to season. But of course, like looking, there are seasons that we expected price will hike up really high. For example, Chinese New Year is coming. So we already expect that thing, like the traditional things that, for example, the imported like Hong Kong kind of lap cheong, the wax sausages, we are expecting them to be quite expensive coming forth. Yeah.
Right. And how are your customers responding to your prices? It sounds like it varies from batches to batches. Yeah. Right? How are they responding to this?
So we do have customers who sort of, I mean, they don't really mind the changes. So then as long as it's the quality that they want, then they'll stick back to the same product. But there are customers that we know that, you know, maybe they have to be slightly more budgeted. We will always tell them, because we have a personal shopper kind of a button on the website, there's a customer service. You can ask us questions directly and we'll then help you find a substitute for the product.
Yeah, speaking of this, you do have like a customer, have a way to maintain your customer relationship online, because by purchasing from your store, your customers get a loyalty point, they get a free exchange and customer support as well, as you mentioned. And how has this helped you in terms of customer loyalty and retaining customers as compared to the physical store?
So customers still want to sort of like, when we first started, they're telling us like, oh, it's so hard to be able to buy online because they can't smell, they can't see, they can't touch, right? These kind of products we want to see and touch. So we then try to build the trust in terms of like the exchange that you mentioned. As long if you think that it's not what you want, it's not of the quality that you expected, as long as you haven't opened up the products and we can exchange them to the other kinds, like whatever you want, we'll exchange it back for you free of charge. We don't charge the delivery, the second delivery. Yeah. So personal shopper part, so what we do is we try to sort of mimic, we are your personal shoppers. If you think you can trust us enough, you tell us that you want a certain type of scallops because you're trying to make a certain dish or oysters, then we will handpick them for you. We even take pictures for you and videos for you. If you read, like some of them, they really request for this, and then we'll just take a video and take a picture. It's like, this is how they look like. So we try to mimic as if they're buying in store. Yeah.
And has that helped you in terms of customer retention or returning customers?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. With the loyalty points and rewards as well. So it's like, you know, outside, it's hardly for you to get like discounts off maybe a bottle of soy sauce. But if you purchase on our website, you get customer credits every time you purchase above a certain amount. And then with those credits, they're directly translated into like money. Then you can just minus off your next purchase.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the partnerships that you've been doing with different businesses, right? Mm-hmm. So you did a partnership with McCaff Kitchen and Olia as well. Right. How did these partnerships come about?
So the Ngoloya one with the Bakwa one was quite interesting, because last year, they've already approached us last year saying that they sort of have an interest. They want to collaborate for the Dragon Boat Festival. So last year, we came up with our own little 101 kit, like teaching people how to make your own rice dumplings. Yeah. So we engaged a local carpentry that makes like a triangular, I don't know what you call, mold, I guess. Yeah, it's a mold for it to help you to make your dumplings, to put them in shape, right? So wrapping the dumpling, I guess preparing the ingredients for the dumpling is not hard. They're just stir fry with soy sauce. Everything is easy. But when it comes to wrapping the actual bat zhang, the dumpling, it's very hard because we don't know how to wrap, and then we want to keep them in a triangular shape. So that's when the mold come in. So when Ngoloya saw it last year, they approached us and said they want to do something this year to make it like a bakwa dumpling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we decided, like, okay, that's when the discussion sort of started. And then we came into this year, we came up with another kit. But so when you buy the kit from this collaboration, everything is already in. Traditionally, you have to buy your own pork, you have to marinate your own pork, and then that's that extra step that, you know, maybe the younger generation feel like, maybe lazy lah, don't want lah. But when you buy this Ngoloya kit, we already have the bakwa and the instructions and a video to teach you how to wrap. So you don't even need to prepare the pork, everything is there. You just stir fry everything and then you put it into the mold with the leaves, and then you you can wrap your own batang. Yeah.
And how has the response been?
We were targeting the younger family and younger parents, so they really love it. So they take it as an exercise between the children. During the whole weekend, they were just wrapping their own dumplings. It was really cute, like teaching them how to wrap. But the parents themselves were also learning at the same time. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, what other partnerships are you looking for in the future, or you might be working on?
At the moment, we are looking for we want to support more smaller businesses traditionally, or new businesses were fine, but we want to keep it, like the traditional sense, we still want to keep it. So if it can be anybody, we're open actually. Like for Markev Kitchen, it's, peranakan home-based, I guess, cooking sauces. So they have this sambal and the XO bak kwa sauce, and they're really good. And they taste very different from all the other commercial ones. So like if you have such products, or even like if you're a local bakery, anything, we will always love to collaborate, especially for festive seasons. Mm, yeah.
Okay. But you're particularly or specifically looking into the F&B sector?
F&B, or we are also looking into like pots and pans, like the cooking part, anything that can help
with cooking.
If you can make cooking easier, faster, we would love that as well. Okay. Yeah.
How big is your digital team currently? Or is it just you?
Currently, I would say we have about 10. I mean, including the logistics and the people who help us pack the orders, about 10, yeah.
Okay. So what are your plans ahead on your e-commerce platform?
Right now, we are focused on the Klang Valley area. So we would like to see if we can expand it to nationwide, bring our products to the other states, and then... we have a lot of inquiries from Singapore. So we are looking into like ways that we can bring our products into Singapore. Mm. Yeah.
Did you have plans to open new physical stores, or going online has affected these plans to open one?
We didn't have any idea. I mean, like, we weren't thinking about opening another physical store, but looking at how the online side is expanding, I guess I wouldn't entirely shut that idea, to see like maybe open up like a pop-up store just for people to browse products, not a full-fledged store. Yeah.
Right. Final question. This is because it's Merdeka Week. What are your hopes for Malaysia's family businesses, including yours?
I would really like to see them like continue on and maintain like how we're doing it, but I understand that it can be hard. I feel like if the younger generation right now, they don't, if you have a family business and you have an idea or sort of you want to help your family digitalize, I think you should do it, because if we don't do it now, you won't see these businesses in the next 5 to 10 years anymore. And then it will just be in the history, like in the museum. Or it used to be these kind of shops, right? But right now, like later on, I can see everything is just online. Then you will lose the touch of like the warmth, I guess, the nostalgia feeling, the warmth that you will get from walking into these kind of shops. Yeah.
Right. All right. Thank you very much for spending time with me today, Lana.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking to Lana Ng, the e-commerce manager of Chai Huat Hin. If you want to know more about Chai Huat Hin, where can they find you?
You can look for us on our website, www.chaihuathin.com. Our Instagram and Facebook are the same name, Chai Huat Hin. And yeah,
right.
We're all there.
If you missed any part of this show, you can go ahead on our website at bfm.my or the BFM app that is available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. I'm Lily Choi, and this has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.